Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our sermon this morning is recorded in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. We read in the 18th chapter, verses 1 to 4, and then verses 25 to 32. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The fathers eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For every living soul belongs to me, the father as well as the son. Both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the one who will die. And then at verse 25. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, O house of Israel, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. Because of the sin he has committed, he will die. But if a wicked man turns from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life. Because he considers all the offenses he has committed and turns away from them, he will surely live. He will not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one, according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. This is the word of our God. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. Things aren't going your way. You're suffering the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, in the words of the bard. Somebody fouls up, and you end up paying the price. Somebody else has a lot of good things, and it just seems like I'm not getting my good things. In circumstances like that, what three words come to the heart and maybe come off of the lips? It's not fair. Nobody can argue that injustice and unfairness are in short supply in this life, except when it comes from God. We fully expect our fellow citizens often to be unjust and unfair with us. After all, they're just like us. And how often aren't we those ways with them? But it is a sin to accuse God of being anything but just. He is the holy and righteous God who is only and always just and fair in his dealings with us. You and I are guilty of the sin of accusing God of being unfair and unjust. More than once, I'll suggest very often. After all, what is worry? Worry is saying to God that you really haven't been just with me, and I really can't count on your fairness in the future. Isn't it really calling God unjust to disagree with those he has placed over us to represent him when he is dealing with us on the basis of his word? Or when we argue with his representatives or resent them in their dealings with us? What are covetousness, lust, and jealousy? Every one of them is just another way of saying to God, you're not being fair. You are not just in my life. God is not unjust. We are unjust. God is not unrighteous. We are unrighteous. God doesn't have to turn from his ways and change. We have to turn from our ways and change. This is the message that the Lord God had through the prophet Ezekiel to the children of Israel in exile in Babylon. Open your hearts to the Spirit's message to you this morning as he teaches us this lesson also. God's justice is inarguable. We see, first of all, that God's justice stands the test against all false accusations of injustice. And secondly, that God's justice is the basis for his judgment. A well-known proverb was going around among the Israelites in Babylon. And that proverb is this: the father eats sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Do you get it? The father's action causes a result in their children's lives. Dad eats a sour grape, and the child's mouth is the one that is filled with bitterness and puckers up. God's point to them was, you're blaming your fathers for your predicament that's on account of your sin. You're busy blaming your father's idolatry, your father's sin, as the reason for your suffering, as a reason for your being in exile, as if it had nothing to do with you. As if this chastening your experience is something that only has to do with what they do or did and not you. In that proverb, what was Israel saying to God? In fact, God says what they were saying. God is unjust. God is unfair to do this to us. They cried out, the way of the Lord is not just. Now, their accusation and ours, when we make it, would be true if the premise was valid. But the premise is not valid. Justice, righteousness, fairness, those are all attributes of our God. And so to begin with the very premise that God could or would even think about being unjust or unfair is a sin. God is a holy and just God. What God says is always right, and it's always true. No good thought, no good plan, no right argument ever began on the premise, God isn't fair. God is being unjust to me and not treating me in a good way and in a righteous way. That's all a lie of Satan, to put blame away from ourselves and to blame God. God put a stop to that way of thinking real quick, that I would bear the consequence of the sin of my father. He says, every soul, or the soul that sins, is the one that will die. I'm not subject to death. I don't deserve eternal death in hell because of a sin that my father committed. As we said, as we confessed our sins, I am a sinner. I deserve God's wrath and punishment in hell because I'm a sinner. Every soul belongs to God separately. God judges every soul separately. The soul of my father was subject to death because of his sin and Adam's sin. My soul is subject to death because of Adam's sin and because of my sin, not because of his. Every living soul belongs to God. And it is the truth that God's justice is inarguable that stands the tests of those false accusations, that I am somehow being chastened, that I am somehow going through something in my life because of something that my father did. Remember the disciples, when the man born blind, they asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his father, that he was born blind? So they were even laboring under the misconception that this poor man was blind because of some sin that his father had committed. And remember what Jesus said, neither this man nor his father sinned, but this has happened so that I might be glorified, so that I can glorify myself and my father by giving him his sight. So that's what really God was saying to Israel. You're being chastened in this exile. I have delivered you from the death that you deserve in my promise of the Savior. But that death of your soul, that chastening, has nothing to do with your parents. It's because you are a sinner. And you repent. You turn from your ways and live so that your sins do not destroy you. God asks two questions to show that his justice is inarguable. O house of Israel, is my way unjust? It is not. It is your ways that are unjust. Twice God, through Ezekiel, asks those questions. Think about those questions. Listen to those questions echoing in your ears and in your hearts the next time you're tempted to think or to say to God, it's not fair, it's not just what's happening to me, the way you're taking care of me in my life. Look at how others are enjoying life and have no problems and everything is great with them. In the first place, that's probably not true and isn't true. But to not compare myself to others. The only thing I have to compare myself to is God's demand for holiness. And there I fail. And that sin and that death is on me. And that sin brings death into my life. And it is my Savior, Jesus Christ, who has rescued me from that death, who bore that death, as we heard in our epistle lesson today, who bore our sins, suffered our punishment, even into death, even death on a cross. As if we had to worry or complain or be dissatisfied with the way God takes care of us. God is not a man that he should lie to us. God is not a man that he would ever change his mind or change his will about his promises to give us this day our daily bread, or to forgive us all of our sins, or that he has reserved a place in heaven for you, and one day he will come back to take you to be with him where he is. God does not chasten us because of some sin our father did. He chastens us because of his love for us in what Jesus did. He chastens us to remind us that we are sinners, to remind us that we have no righteousness of our own, that we are not able to be right with God by ourselves, but rather that that judgment of our innocence, that judgment of our forgiveness, takes place on the basis of Christ, on the basis of his justice that says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. That is God's justice. And if you believe in God's justice, or when you believe in God's justice, then we have that blessing of salvation. If we don't believe in that act of justice, then we would be lost. But God says, why will you die? There's no need for you to die, because I've loved you and sent Jesus to be your Savior. I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, of any soul, because I have provided the way for that soul to live. And that judgment will take place on God's inarguable justice. The righteous judge declares through Ezekiel, I will judge you each one according to his ways. Repent, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Remember that all of our ways, all of our actions come from our hearts, either a heart of faith or a heart of unbelief. And so when God says, repent, turn from your ways, he is talking there about not letting the sin that is in our heart begin again to rule our lives. Those who are ruled by sin could be unbelievers. And here God says to unbelievers that I will judge you according to your ways, by your actions that show your unbelief. But sin also fills our lives, doesn't it? We need to repent every day of our sins that we commit, even as Christians, and to turn away from them so that they will not be our downfall. So every soul belongs to God. God says to the unbeliever, recognize your sin. Be contrite for that sin. Look to Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness, that Savior who died for you on the cross. Turn away by the power of the Spirit from your unbelief to faith, and sin will not be your downfall. And he says to us Christians, repent, acknowledge, be contrite, acknowledge the sins of habit, sins of weakness, sins of ignorance, our pet sins. Acknowledge our sins to God. Turn from them. Acknowledge them. Get away from them and trust in Jesus' promise of forgiveness. And as we do that every day as Christians, then sin will not get the best of us. Sin will not be our downfall, in that it would destroy our faith in Christ. When we consider the sins that lead to our downfall and turn away from that sin and do what is right in true repentance, Then we will pray with David for a new heart and a new spirit. We will look to the gospel, to Jesus Christ and that word that gives us that new heart. God will ask us, why will you die? There's no reason to die. I have given new life for your soul. I have given new life to your soul as adopting you as my child. And here I hope you see is where our gospel lesson this morning ties in with the Old Testament in Jesus' parable. There was the one son who said he would not do his father's will, but then he did it. And then there was the son who said he would do his father's will and didn't do it. And that's a picture for the Pharisees and for our self-righteous old Adam of humility. The Pharisees had no clue about humility, no idea of repentance. They said, yes, God, we'll do your will. We're doing your will. When in fact, they weren't doing God's will at all. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the other sinners recognized their sin. But they acknowledged that sin and they turned away from it, trusting in Jesus for forgiveness. And then they are the ones who live. The law brings contrition. The gospel creates faith in Jesus. Whoever believes in Jesus receives the benefit of our Savior's redemptive work. And the believer shows that righteousness of Christ in the heart by our ways. By our ways of repentance. Our ways of turning away from sin so that it will not be our downfall. And that is the basis of God's judgment. God's justice. That is inarguable. God will say to those in unbelief who have not repented, because of their unbelief, you are lost. He will say to those who believe, come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you. The same soul that deserves to die on account of our sin has been given new life in Christ. This is God's justice. This is the basis for his judgment. So repent and live. Amen.